Next, we want to talk about genetic testing, which is making it possible for us to learn more and more about the diseases that we're prone to contract. But that raises a hard question. How much do we really want to know? Over the next few weeks, all things considered, we'll be listening to people who decided whether to learn about their genetic heritage, which might reveal if they're at risk for breast cancer, cystic fibrosis, or other diseases. We'll start today with a conversation between Lauren Dubin, who lives in Olney, Maryland, and NPR's Joe Pelka.
Lauren Dubin has been thinking about breast cancer all her life because her mother, her sister, and several cousins were all diagnosed with the disease. I talked to her one morning at her home where her kitchen is undergoing some remodeling. She had taken the morning off from her job at Georgetown Law School.
What's your dog's name?
Jozu.
Jozu? Hey, Jozu. What kind of dog?
Bichon Frise.
Jozu, Jozu. Now, you're going to be quiet, right? Say yes. Okay, thank you.
Lauren is in her mid-40s. She's a composed, energetic woman, full of life. A few years ago, Lauren decided she had to know whether the breast cancer in her family was random bad luck or was being caused by a specific genetic mutation, a mutation she might also carry. So she contacted a genetic counselor and made an appointment to take the genetic test that would provide the answer.
I thought I was in control because I felt I sort of had this high-risk identity for many, many years, and came in the day that I was to get the results shaking. I had to sign a waiver. I could not sign it. I was so shaky. And I was surprised because I thought that no matter what it was, positive or negative, I could handle it. It was positive. And I felt dizzy. I just felt that I had this enormous sense that I was the exact same person that I was when I walked in, but everything changed because I had this tiny piece of information about myself.
So when the mists cleared and you had this information, what did you do then? I mean, what did you do with it?
Once I had these results, I felt I needed to make decisions for myself. I wasn't a number. I wasn't a study. I wasn't one in 10,000 women. I was me. This was my life. I read everything in sight. A lot of the literature, a lot of the sort of genetic community recommend ovary removal, which is another piece of this. When you test positive for the mutation that my family has, there is also risk of ovarian cancer. And I debated the pros and cons of having my ovaries removed, and that was a very, very emotional and difficult decision. I was 40. I had already had two children, but I was only 40 and had no intention of going into menopause at 40. But all of that was less significant than the need to eliminate the risk. So after a month or so of getting the results, I did decide to have my ovaries removed. Many women opt for prophylactic mastectomy, and that was something I opted not to do. I have to say, eventually, the intensity and the emotional whirlwind and drama subsided, and I just went right back to normal, in that I didn't think about this quite as much. And I put it away, and all of a sudden it began to dawn on me, you're putting this away as if it's not going to happen.
So she got more aggressive about watching for signs of cancer. She went twice a year to the same surgeon for a thorough exam. For years, everything was fine, and then they found a lump. A biopsy showed it was breast cancer.
I am much more prepared than the average woman for that news, certainly. It was stunning. It was kind of like getting the results of the genetic test. It was stunning for a moment, and then I kicked into gear. What do I need to do?
You know, it strikes me, listening to you talk about this, that the people who are in the best position to benefit from the information that this genetic test provides are people who've already dealt with the issue of breast cancer. Because the test itself is usually only recommended, as I understand it, for people who've had a family history of breast cancer. So it's something they've already thought about. And it strikes me that the information you gain comes on top of a long period of time, all your life essentially, where you've thought about these issues. Is that part of the equation for you? Is it more information placed in a background of information that you've already developed over your life?
Yeah, I think absolutely that's true. I can't speak for anyone else but myself, that I likely would have been much more afraid of this information if I had not had so many years worth of developing this identity. There's a lot of attention paid to breast cancer in our society. Gets a lot of press, and all women, I think on some level, are afraid of it and overestimate their risk. I knew for a fact that I was not overestimating my risk. So this piece of information was just critical in allowing me to move forward. I know that there are many women who come from an equally high-risk family who don't want to know. They're just too afraid of what they're going to feel, of what it's going to mean, as if it causes cancer somehow. I'm not, you know, the denial factor, I think, is very significant. And that just wasn't me.
Your mother, your sister, some cousins had breast cancer. Did you talk with any of them about getting genetic testing before you went and did it yourself?
I did. I didn't think that it would be controversial or upsetting to them at all. They certainly knew that, in a sense, I was next. I'm the youngest in our family, so I think that anything that they could do to help me, to support me, was not going to be a problem. Interestingly, what I came to find out is that I actually was unable to be tested until a family member with cancer was tested first. And my sister agreed to be tested, which meant she had to go through counseling, and she then had to make the same decisions about her ovaries as well. She is a 17-year survivor of breast cancer and had no knowledge whatsoever that there was an ovarian cancer risk in the mix. So that became an emotional piece for her. At first, she thought she was just doing it for me and, you know, potentially for her daughters and my daughter. It opens up a can of worms because your immediate thoughts turn to your children, which happened for her, and her daughters are older than my children are.
So really, this testing opens up more than... It's information not just for one member of the family. All the blood relatives wind up having to deal with this in one way or another.
Yeah, I have a brother as well, and he is about to be tested in the next few months. He is older than us and doesn't really feel that there's necessarily any risk for himself, but he has children, and they are in their 20s, two boys, and they are married, and they will likely have children, so it doesn't end with this generation.
Any decisions about your own children?
No, not at all yet. It's way too early. My daughter is 15. I don't think you can get tested until you're 18. I'm sure she's beginning to develop the same identity that I developed at 15. Is this going to happen to me? But as a kid, and as a young adult, you tuck it away somewhere. It's down the road. And just as when you're 15, you're never going to be 30, you know, you're never going to develop breast cancer. I will be very watchful for her when she enters her 20s, and I will guide her to the best of my ability. I think it's not the genetic component right now that I'm thinking about for her. It's what it feels like to be the daughter of a woman with breast cancer, because I know how I felt. And I want to help her cope with that to the best of my ability.
Lauren Dubin, thank you very much for speaking with me.
You're very welcome, Joe.
Lauren Dubin spoke with NPR's Joe Palca just over a week ago. Afterward, she had surgery for her cancer. She reports that the surgery was successful and that she probably will not need chemotherapy. In a few weeks, we'll hear from another family about their decision to forego genetic testing for cystic fibrosis. And if you want to learn more about genetic testing, you can go to our website at npr.org.